Welcome to the second episode of Wine About History, formerly known as the Mad Ranter Podcast. In our first season, we are covering people who have been forgotten from history or simply are not well known. And today, we are covering Sergeant Dan Daly of the United States Marine Corps. This man was so prolific that in the 100...
Prolific at what?
Pardon me?
Prolific at what?
Well, I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Prolific at being a badass Marine is what he was. There have been 3,492 Medal of Honors have been awarded to people.
Okay.
Guess how many have been awarded to two people?
What?
Yeah, I'll edit this out if I can, if I dare. I might just keep it on because it's been so silly. So 3,492 of them.
See, this is why I'm on as well.
Yeah, she's
it's for
just
those
to help
kinds
me.
Of things.
Give me
even though
like.
I didn't get introduced at the beginning.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That's all right. I'm just, you know, it's just disembodied voice. It's okay. Don't worry about me.
I'm keeping this in. I'm not deleting this. This is hilarious.
Okay.
So I would like to introduce M-Bomb.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
My sidekick. This is still the second one. I'm working out the kinks.
We're working out some kinks.
We're working out some kinks. Okay. Restarting. 2 minutes in.
Okay.
There have been 3,492 medals of honor awarded to people.
Okay.
In the United States. It has 150-year history. Guess how many people have been awarded two of them?
Three.
More.
Okay.
I just said it.
Oh.
19.
Oh, 19.
And the man...
I'm going with 19.
Yes. For two... Then they were for two different actions.
Okay.
One man was going to earn a third, but the top brass thought that might be a bit too much. And that's the man we're covering today, Sergeant Dan Daly. Not a lot is known about his childhood. He was born in Glen Cove, New York State, in 1873. And what we do know is that he was a newsie. Remember that movie with Christian Bale?
Yeah,
he was a newsie.
Movie.
But he had a terrible singing voice, so they didn't let him in the movie.
He just had to sell papers.
He had to sell papers. And he would fight other boys for good corners.
Ooh.
Like fist fight.
And
that led him to be an early career as a boxer when he was 12 years old.
Seriously?
Semi,
a boxer?
Semi-pro boxer at 12 years
That's
old.
That's too young.
Now, when he was full grown 18, he was 5'6", 132 pounds.
Yeah, that's small.
That's
kind of
small man.
Yeah.
Now, when he was a boy, he heard stories of Theodore Roosevelt and the Rough Riders charging up San Juan Hill. He heard all these stories, you know. And this the Spanish-American War was when American forces helped lead the Cuban Revolution against Spain and kicked the Spanish out. And that led to Dan Daly's enlistment into the Marine Corps on January 10th, 1899.
So how old was he then?
Sorry,
am I jumping ahead?
I actually don't
do
know. He was 25.
Okay. Pretty good.
20 good age. Well, 25 is when your brain is fully matured.
Okay.
Which a lot of people don't know that. So... He didn't see a lot of action until the Boxer Rebellion. Not a lot of people don't know what the Boxer Rebellion was.
I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of it. It's a very... Basically, Britain, as you know, made China their colony.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that. They forced them... They basically forced opium on the country and got the whole country addicted to opium. At least they tried to.
Whoa.
And the world was not happy with that. Britain was not happy with that. No one was okay with it, except for the leading British powers who were desperate to hold on to these colonies they had because they were afraid their empire would crumble, which it did. Anyways, now the Boxer Rebellion is very interesting. The Boxer Rebellion were a bunch of people who blamed Westerners for their problems. Now, the whole world, China was kind of last on the market to be taken over, so it had a bunch of diplomatic ties. It was playing people. And and here's the thing is the Qing, I believe it's the Qing dynasty, was in charge. Now, they were considered foreigners by Chinese because they were not members of... They were members of a different ethnicity. They were not Han Chinese. So they couldn't update the military legally. There was a bunch of... They were considered foreigners by most Chinese people. So they couldn't... they didn't really have control of the country. Okay. And this is what, one of the reasons that, the British took over. But the Boxers... This is how they got their name. They were called the Society of the Righteous and Harmonious Fists. That's their name. They got their nickname from being boxers, from an interesting ritual. Now, most of them were peasants who blamed foreigners and Westerners, Europeans, on why their life was so hard, because they were poor farmers, lost their jobs. And they came from all different walks of life, and the only thing they had in common is they hated foreign influence in China and they wanted to get rid of it. But because they're farmers, craftsmen, day laborers, they didn't know how to fight. So they would do a series of movements like Tai Chi to teach them and basically practice how fighting. These movements reminded Europeans of shadow boxing, which is practice. So that's how they got their nickname, the Boxers. It looked like a form of shadow boxing. So for years, the Boxers murdered Christian missionaries and Chinese Christians. They would torture them to death. They would murder this person, that person. It was very, very unpleasant to be met by the Boxers. And they were quite ruthless because they thought their way of life was at stake. Well, on June 20th, 1900, they laid siege to the Foreign District, which is where all the... it was basically a city, a small town for all the foreign people. And there's a very good movie about it. There's lots of good movies about it if you want to see. And it was, they had to hold out against the Boxers who numbered in the thousands. I don't remember how many Boxers there were. But the next day, the King Empress Dowager, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Su Huzi, I have no idea. We're not Chinese, if that isn't obvious to you, declared war on all the countries with the diplomatic ties to China. Now, Dan Daly was on the USS New Jersey, and obviously they're United States members of the United States. They're United States citizens in the Foreign District. They wanted to rescue them.
Okay.
So what we did is we sent troops over to go save them, and Dan Daly was one of them. Okay. We sent members of the United States Marine Corps, and it was a pretty nasty... The Battle of Peking was not a gentle skirmish. It was a pretty nasty, bloody affair. In fact, United States Marines had been forced off the Tartan Wall, which was the southern wall. They were driven off.
So we had Marines back then?
Yes, Marines have been around since 1773, I believe. They've been around for a while. They've been around for this country. Because Marine is, Mom? M-bomb?
M-bomb? That's me.
That's M-bomb, yep. No tricks here. Is there soldiers on a ship?
Yeah, they're part of the Navy, right?
They're well-trained, and that's why they're so tough, is because they're hard to fight on a battle.
Okay, I just didn't know that. I don't know that much about the military, so I'm learning something here.
So, Captain Lieutenant Newt Hall... what they did is they literally threw grappling hooks up and climbed up the tartan wall, took it back and held it. So Captain Newt Hall, who was famous for this charge, led his Marines and Daly up the wall armed with bayoneted Springfield 1892 bolt-action rifles. Now, for those of you who don't know what bolt-action is, it's you shoot the gun, it shoots one round, and then you have to pull back a bolt to put in a new round. It's old weapons. It's not advanced. Not a weapon you want to bring into warfare if you had other options. And once you shoot that round, if someone's very close to you, you don't have a lot of time to re-chamber a new round. So a lot of times, especially with the boxers who were outnumbering them and didn't have very good arms, so a lot of times they just charge you with knives, torches, anything they had. So it basically broke down into hand-to-hand warfare. And hand-to-hand warfare is quite awful. To illustrate it correctly, it's stabbing someone to death while they're holding on to you, and you can smell their breath. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. That was Dan Daly's first introduction to warfare. Well, brutal hand-to-hand combat isn't fun. Now, they had retaken the wall.
And are they in China right now?
They are in Peking, China. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Now, on August 14th, Captain Newt Hall had to go get ammunition, food, and other important things. They left Dan Daly alone on the wall to hold it. I think it was one of those situations where we've got it, we're fine, we're just going to leave Dan here. Dan's tough, he'll take care of it.
He's fine.
And they went back to get food. You need these things.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Military, a lot of people will talk about tactics and strategy, but really, the army is a matter of logistics. They have Dan alone. He maybe had a Springfield rifle. He maybe had a machine gun. A whole battalion, we don't know how many boxers, but a whole bunch of boxers saw him alone on the tartan wall.
Uh-oh.
So they said, this will be easy. The problem is they hadn't tangled with a Marine like Dan Daly before.
Right.
All throughout the night, he offended off attack after attack by himself. Machine gun or no, that's impressive. Now, part of it, too, is think about you're on a wall. You're on basically a choke point.
Mm-hmm.
A choke point is you're small. So it makes sense that he could hold them off. Mm-hmm. But by himself, that's still incredible. It's...
Yeah.
It's not something... It's something that happens in movies.
Sure, yeah.
Not real life.
Yeah.
He fended off attack. They attacked him with torches, knives, guns, attack all throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
Newt Hall comes back with food and ammunition, the rest of his men. There were rumored to be 200 dead boxers on the wall.
Whoa.
There probably wasn't 200, but let's be honest here.
But, we'll just go with that number, 200 sounds good.
But... that he held it by himself, attack after attack, is
that's impressive.
Incredible.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I want to have some veterans of the armed forces to be able to paint this, like, their reactions be able to explain that, no, Max, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, I didn't introduce myself, did I? I just said this was formerly the Madman. I'm Max, the historian, I guess.
Yes, you are.
Who whines about history. So... that's how he won his first Medal of Honor, was doing that. Now, Haiti's always been a problem place.
And what's been a problem place?
Haiti.
Oh, has it? Oh, that's a bummer.
Yes.
They can't catch a break.
They really can't for various reasons. I think it's a matter of a big thing in nation building is internal structure.
Yeah.
And Haiti, I didn't think, has had problems with internal structure. And in 1915, Haiti had gone through 6 presidents like that.
Yeah.
And Woodrow Wilson, who is an interesting president, he decided enough is enough. I'm sending American troops in there to try and help stabilize the country.
Okay.
Because there was a civil war going on. It was not a, you know, it's hard to do anything if you're a foreign power trying to instill anything. But Woodrow Wilson, at July 28th, 1915, sent 330 U.S. troops to occupy Port-au-Prince. And Dan Daly was there. And
of course he was.
Yes, on October 22nd. Dan Daly I believe it was Dan Daly was there, and he got ambushed on a river with 30 of his men.
Okay.
They are outnumbered 13 to 1. So there's 30 wow. of them. There's about 400
wow.
Kako rebels. I don't mm-hmm. know who the Kakos were. I didn't look that up. They escaped, put up a defensive position on the other side of the river. Now, night comes. Dan Daly crawls to the river because their machine gun was dropped there.
Oops.
If you don't know, fire superiority is an important part of American policy.
Yeah, it would seem like it, yeah.
Big gun, do much damage.
Yeah.
It's simple and effective.
Yeah.
It's why we win. He crawled in, searched through the mud, searched through the water, found it, strapped it to his back like some sort of superhero, and crawled back to his men, gave them the machine gun.
Wow.
They defeated the rebels.
Did it have to be cleaned? Was it all muddy?
Oh, yes, it has to be cleaned, yeah. Well, some guns, you can throw them in the mud
yeah.
and pick them up and shoot them. Some guns, a breeze goes by and it's broken.
They're just delicate.
There goes the day.
Yeah.
So World War I comes along. Now, which it's its 100th anniversary this year, and no one brought that up. It's kind of annoying.
Oh my gosh.
It's 100th anniversary. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I'm doing Dan Daly. I'm going to be doing a bunch of Vietnam, World War I heroes. Because we've forgotten to appreciate them.
Yeah.
Dan Daly, one of them. So, Dan Daly is now 44 years old.
Wow. That's old in Army years.
That's old by anyone's years. That's 70 by Army years. I'll be 44 one day. So he's now 44.
Okay.
He goes to France.
Sure.
And he continues to impress.
Tell me more.
Tell you more. Okay.
Max is drinking wine.
I'm drinking wine. I haven't had a lot. I'm just in a good mood. This is
that was that little bit of silence there as I'm drinking some wine.
Here's some more silence.
More silence while he drinks. What is it? Seven Moon. It's really good. It's a red wine.
I don't
wine.
Know if we can legally say the brand name.
Why not?
Any wine company is listening to this. Please sponsor me and give me wine. You don't need any money. I'll do this podcast on my own. I don't even need a sponsor. Just send me wine, please.
Well, rant for wine.
Rant for wine. So, he heads to France. He rescued, and he did three things right off the bat. He rescued six wounded Marines pinned down by enemy rifle fire,
wow.
machine gun fire.
Wow.
He captures 13 German soldiers by himself.
How? Stop. Seriously? Wow.
I believe he just looked at them, they peed themselves, and followed him.
Probably.
He charged and captured a machine gun nest by himself, armed only with his 45 1911. For those who don't know, that's a pistol. It's a big pistol, but still just a pistol. And a few hand grenades.
Hand grenades, though. Yeah.
Still, though, that's something that takes a squad
for sure.
to do. These actions were important, and they earned him recognition. Those things are just someone to give an old person Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
But what really he did was at the infamous Battle of Belleau Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Belleau Woods was the first large battle fought by U.S. forces. And it was a matter of, it was a counteroffensive against the German offensive.
Sure.
And it's famous for being a place where Americans just refused to quit. We kept coming and coming and going and going and attacking. The point where the Germans are like, these people are crazy. It began June 6th and was ordered by General John Blackjack Pershing. Now, he's known Blackjack for a couple of different reasons. Rumor has he would actually hit you with a blackjack. Another thing, he commanded African-American forces and was proud of it. Back when, it's 1915. You weren't proud of that stuff. He was one tough guy. Pershing is a very underrated general. The battle ended on the 26th. So it was a 20-day battle. American forces refused, despite heavy losses, to give up any ground. And that's how most battles, you begin to lose people at all. You give up and you run away by another day. That's normal human behavior. We lost 10,000 troops, MMA.
That's bad. That's
insane.
A lot of
it's insane.
Yeah,
and it was Americans going, oh, you think we're going to lose? No. That's why this battle is so important. Partly it's a testament to Pershing's abilities, but it's also a testament to Dan Daly. I believe it was 9 hours into the battle, Marines were pinned down, doomed, screwed. It was one of those moments where it looks like we were going to lose the battle. We were down and out. We were outnumbered 2-1. Dan Daly, a accomplished veteran, knew there's only one thing to do. What's the best defense?
A good offense.
Good offense. He stood up, grabbed his rifle, and said, "For Christ's sakes, come on, man. Do you want to live forever?" Then he led the charge and saved the day.
Wow.
A successful charge.
Wow. That's so selfless.
That's, again, something that happens in movies. Now, I'd be remiss without saying, okay, to Marine Corps lore, he said, "Come on, you sons of bitches, do you want to live forever?" And then charged. I think they had to tough it up for the Marines. But
sure.
So that was his last action. And let's talk about him for a little bit. Let's bounce this guy back and forth for just a few minutes because, holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, but let's talk about the his awards. He had a bunch of other awards. But what he won, but they were going to give him the Third Medal of Honor for that.
But sounds like you should have gotten it.
You should have got it. But the top brass, because of politics.
They didn't do it.
They gave him a Navy Cross and some other awards.
But
now, Navy Cross is good.
Do you think he cared?
No.
No.
Officers don't. That's one thing
no,
I know.
No, he's like, I was just doing my job. So I get some medals. That's nice. But yeah.
You can look him up. You see a picture from getting his medals. You can
I am
see.
Gonna I'm gonna don't look care. Him up for sure.
Because that's the responsibility of an officer. An officer should not care about what's pinned on his chest. He should not care. I'm preaching a little bit because I'm a civilian. But an officer shouldn't care about those things. An officer cares about getting his boys home in one piece.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You can
and winning. Well.
So tell me your impression of him.
Well, he sounds like a very selfless person. Like, he was just there to do a job and, I don't know, super brave, I guess. And he seems like somebody that was there to do the job at whatever costs and he wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to wimp out. He was just going to get the job done.
Do you think there's any other option for him but forward? So most people, I've only got one way to go. It's forward, and I'm not going back. Or do you think he was just a fighter, or do you think he was someone who, like all of us, battles with decisions and problems? And
It sounds like maybe decisions come easy for him. Like, some people are very decisive and they just are boom. I'm one of those people that before I make a decision, I've got to get all the information. I got to weigh all my options and that kind of thing. But some people are just like, boom, and they just make a decision and they go with it. They're just really driven to get to their goal, their ultimate goal. So they don't waste a lot of time thinking about stuff. They just move. And he might be one of those people. I don't know.
He, that strikes me as true. It also strikes me that he was fighting literally to survive and sell newspapers when he was a little boy.
Sure. Yeah. So he was a fighter from the get-go and a boxer. Literally a boxer. And yeah. So he had to fight his whole life. It was just used to it.
And also, let's be honest, he's an Irishman from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Some genetics in there.
Yeah. Looking at some pictures.
We were looking at showing M-Bomb. Aww. Some pictures of him.
Yeah, he looks.
He doesn't
like
look
nice
like he cares.
He doesn't. Yeah, look... he looks like whatever. Pin these medals on me. That's fine. Well, in that picture, he looks a little happy. The picture I'm looking at.
This one?
Well, no, the one where he was sitting in a chair. There's a picture of him sort of slightly reclined in a chair. He's got a crabby look on his face, to be honest. But he's got just medals pinned all down the front of him, like taking up literally half the side of
just
his
Google
body with medals. And he looks proud, but at the same time, he kind of has this look on his face like, what's the fuss about? I don't know.
Something
I be
that's instilled in members of our armed forces, not armed forces, is your life is worth a single moment. It comes down to a single solitary moment where you choose to go forward. I'm sure this guy is, they talk about him in boot camp and things like that.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah, you're right. We're faced with like decisions and choices all day long. Days are a series of decisions, but most of them aren't quite as life or death as the one that he had to deal with. But yeah, it's impressive. I mean, an impressive guy. I'm glad we're talking about him. Hopefully people that listen to this will just take a look at this man and what he did and learn a little more about World War One, because I don't think a lot of people know about it.
Or the Boxer Rebellion.
Heard of the Boxer Rebellion.
I didn't know we invaded Haiti.
I didn't know we had troops in Haiti either, and poor Haiti just can't catch a break.
No,
hopefully one of these days they will. But yeah, so look up World War One. It's really interesting. When we were in London, our family, we went to the Imperial War Museum and learned a little bit about World War One. Because I knew nothing about it. And super tragic war. It was just bad. And they didn't think there'd be another one like it. It was so bad. They were wrong.
They called it the Great War. I was in the Great War and it was terrible. It was so bad there'll be another thing. Oh my gosh, who's this Hitler fellow? Oh, he's quite awful.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
That's 20 podcasts.
But yeah, look up World War One and some of the stuff that happened there. Check out this guy and what he did. And I don't think America would be America today if these guys didn't go to fight for behalf of Europe. And
I think he was literally born and bred with the purpose of being a soldier. It was his fate.
Yeah, you're probably
God
right.
Put him here to go, boom, whether you're religious or not. But that was just his mold and his genetics and what he was there for.
Yeah,
and he
was God for people like him. Yeah.
5'3 and 132 pounds.
I thought you said 5'6.
Wait, what'd I do? 5'6.
Either way, 130 pounds is, that's
I don't
thin.
Memorize this stuff. I have notes. I'm a human being. I'm not some Rain Man animal. So, yeah.
So, yeah, check him out, people. Look him up and let us know in the comments below what you think about him and his service and how maybe he relates to today's soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Are today's soldiers facing the same kind of things that he faced? And what do you think of that?
If there are any members of the Marine Corps who know more about him or any historians
who are willing
to correct me, correct me.
Yeah,
I'm a human being. We're humans.
Exactly.
We don't know everything. I Google half this stuff.
Right, and we just, I'd never heard of him till today, so yeah. Tell us your thoughts, and until next time, we will whine about history.
Have a wonderful evening, listeners.